Father, how our hearts thrill tonight on this Sunday night of the opening week for the Corps, with all of our wonderful kids back home and the greatness of your word just yelling in our souls. Father, what a wonderful time to be together with the family and to have the joy and rejoicing in our hearts of the greatness of your divine presence. Father, make this tremendous week of lasting joy and blessing to the entire Corps and in turn throughout the entire world. Surely love you, Father, and I thank you tonight for allowing me to live in this day and time and hour and to be a part of the heart and of the lives of so many committed and dedicated men and women who love you and who serve you. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless. Please be seated. I'd like to do this song, Unafraid. I don't know what page it is or number it. Number four on your song sheet for the Rock of Ages. And I think this would be a great time to open with that, Unafraid.
Start us off tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Building a Bridge, the Victors.
I'm building a bridge. God gave me the plan. It's right in this book. I hold in my hand each page that I read. Helps me understand. You build on a rock, oh Lord, and not on the sand. I'm building a bridge.
I am building a bridge.
Across the divide.
It is across the divide.
I'm building it strong.
Yes, I am building it strong.
I'm building it wide.
And I am building it wide.
God gave me the plan.
The Lord gave me the plan.
I'm following through.
And I am following through.
I'll make it somehow. I do pray. How about you? Some people I know cannot understand how I can go on and do his command. It's hard to explain,
so hard to explain
the way that I feel.
The way that I feel,
but I'll not complain. Oh Lord, for heaven is real. I'm building a bridge.
Yes, I am building a bridge.
Across the divide.
It is across the divide.
I'm building it strong.
Yes, I am building it strong.
I'm building it wide.
And I am building it wide.
God gave me the plan.
Yes, the Lord gave me the plan.
I'm following through.
And I am following through.
I'll make it somehow. I do pray. How about you? I'll make it somehow. I do pray. How about you? Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives the sorrow all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again
in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Victors! You know, they're singing about that unclouded day. Sort of reminds us of something the Word of God sets for us very dynamically called the rapture. No. That was the Living Bible or something I was reading there the other day. Got to get these texts straight here. Actually, we're talking about the gathering together of the body and how joyful our anticipation will be when Christ comes back to gather us together. And that's going to be a core meeting. What is a core meeting? I want to tell you. But you know, the reason we can do that is because God made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now we can enjoy that abundance. And so here's joyful noise to do that for us. God makes a way.
Someday I'm gonna be like Jesus Christ, because he paid the price. He was the perfect sacrifice. And someday I'm gonna live in all his love, because God filled me with his Spirit from above. Someday we're gonna reign with him on high. We'll meet him in the sky in the twinkling of an eye. And every man shall receive a just reward. I'm gonna believe his word. I'm gonna make it my own. I'm gonna keep his word and make it my heart's own. Then I know he'll never leave me alone. I'm telling you, God will make a way where there is no way. You'll see the darkest night come shining like the break of day. And I'm telling you what he's done for me, he will do for you. You can trust his word is true.
Justified, walking in the Father's sight. Sanctified, walking in the Father's light.
Why not believe his word? Why not make it your own? Why not keep his word and make it your heart's own? Then you'll know he'll never leave you alone. I'm telling you, God will make a way where there is no way.
you'll see the darkest night come shining like the break of day. And I'm telling you what he's done for me, he will do for you. You can trust his word. His word is true.
You can trust God's word.
I'm telling you, God will make a way where there is no way. You'll see the darkest night come shining like the break of day.
Like the break of day.
And I'm telling you what he's done for me, he will do for you. You can trust his word. His word
you can
true.
Trust his word.
His word is true.
You can
true.
Trust God's word.
His word is true.
Able to tell that we're a little bit excited about the return of the Lord, despite the fact that the Rock of Ages has not happened yet. I don't think anybody would complain if he came tonight. I know I sure wouldn't. And I think, well, I know that that's the thing that keeps us going, and that is our hope every single day of our lives. That's our joy, that one day he's coming back. I am surrounded on every side by doubt and confusion. And all around me are sinking souls who've been disillusioned. But I hold the answer deep in my heart wherever I go. And I want the whole wide world to know that he's coming back one day for me. And I'm gonna live eternally. I know that the dead in Christ will rise, and we who remain will meet him in the sky. Oh, in the sky. There is no hope left in this world without Jesus Christ. He is the joy, he is the peace, the secret of life. He could have refused to bear my sins on Calvary's tree, but he got up from the grave so that I could be free. And he's coming back one day for me, and I'm gonna live eternally. I know that the dead in Christ will rise, and we who remain will meet him in the sky, oh, in the sky. No matter what happens to me throughout the day, I don't despair, for I know Jesus Christ is the way. And if this whole wide world should fall apart, oh, I don't trust in gold, I trust in God. His son's coming back one day for me, and I'm gonna live eternally. I know that the dead in Christ will rise, and we who remain will meet him
in the sky.
Oh, in the sky. Oh, in the sky. He's coming back for me.
He's coming.
And I'm gonna live eternally.
He's coming.
Lord and King of Kings.
In the sky.
Oh, in the sky. Stand and be counted, stand and be counted, the chosen of the Lord.
There's never been a greater day to live, and there's never been a greater time to give. But it's up to us
chosen of the Lord.
We are the only ones that can bring man back to God. He has no hands but our hands to reach out and up on the door.
Stand and be counted, the chosen of the Lord.
Well, there's never been a greater day to decide, and there's never been a greater part inside. So let's take a stand and voice our choice, because God has chosen us. Let's let our hearts and rejoice.
Stand and be counted, the chosen of the Lord.
To walk upon the
dead. Stand and be counted. Stand and be counted. Stand and be counted. The chosen of the Lord. Stand and be counted. Stand and be counted. Stand and be counted.
I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke 24. Athletes of the Spirit are athletes of the Word. For the Word is our rule book. The glorified body of Christ, people, is the highest perfection of matter for the enjoyment and services in the kingdom of God, in the heavenly state. On this, the last Sunday of our teaching year, before we open next Sunday with the year of your call to service, I think it's appropriate to consider once again the renewed mind, the key to power. I've been dwelling in my thoughts and in my continuing working of the Word on just how far could an individual believer go as an athlete of the Spirit in keeping his body fit with the indwelling presence of Christ within. We know the experiences of two men on the road to Emmaus. And in Luke 24, verse 6, it was reported on what we referred to as Easter Sunday morning, the first day of the week. He is not here, but he is what? For God had raised him from the dead. The one and only individual who has ever been raised again from the dead. And on that same day in verse 27, he appeared to two of the men on the road to Emmaus, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. He blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another,
Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was made known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified, awestruck, affrighted, and supposing they had seen a spirit or something. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Here are my hands, behold my hands, my feet. It is I myself. Handle me. See those words? Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and did what? Eat. He ate before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise out from among the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And then later on, verse 50, he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. It's on the day of the ascension, 40 days after the resurrection. He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. I said to you when I opened tonight that the glorified body of the Christ is the highest perfection of matter for enjoyment and services in the kingdom of God in the heavenly state. In the latter part of this section that I read, and I thought of these things during the last weeks while doing the advanced class. I thought about the spiritualists and their teaching on the celestial as well as terrestrial travel. How Jesus Christ was on the road to Emmaus. Broke bread with them. Then a little while later, he was up in the room where the 11 were gathered together. And he said, Here's my hands. See it, feel it, handle me. He said, Give me something to eat. And he ate it. I thought about the terrestrial as well as the celestial travel that spiritualists promulgate. I thought of of Colossians, for instance, 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of what? Christ where? In you. Christ in you. I thought of 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see as through a glass what? But then what? Face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Just what can happen in my body? What can happen in your body? What can happen in my body? With the Christ in me, the hope of glory, with your body. That same living, resurrected, ascended Christ. I don't know, kids, but I want to tell you, it's far bigger than you and I have ever been taught. It's far bigger than anybody has ever dared to take us to show it to us in God's Word. It is bigger. When you are born again of God's Spirit, you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. The same Christ, honey, who walked that road to Emmaus in that resurrected body, appeared. They saw him. He broke bread with them. He ate with them. He appeared in the upper room. As I was thinking today and yesterday about my sharing my heart and life with the Corps on their return tonight and the rest of our people that are in here, I thought, how can I make this thing living and real to you, to see it bigger? Because we have never quite thought about the beauty of the body, the physical body that has the Christ in you, the living reality of God Almighty in your physical body. And as I said, as athletes of the Spirit, we are athletes of the Word, for the Word is our rule book. That's the text we play by. The conquest for deliverance is over with. The conquest is fought. The battle's done. It's over, people. Because Christ did it. Christ fought the battle. He died. He gave his life. He did it. The conquest, the fight, is over with. That's why our armor is not an armor of fighting. It's not a shotgun or a revolver or a spear or a sword. The fight's over with. The battle's been won. He is a complete Savior, saved to the uttermost. It's all over with. The battle is finished. The only battlefield left is your mind. Because you cannot believe, nor will you believe. You don't desire to really believe what the Word really says. You are when you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ours is no longer a conquest. Ours is a contest. A competition against yourself. It is not even a contest against any other believer. In the running of the race of life, for it is not a comparison of yourself against any other believer. It is not a contest in the running of the race where you look back. The Word of God declares that you never look back. You always look ahead, pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. The moment you begin to look back, you lose the race. It's not a question, people, of a contest. It's not looking back. It is looking unto him who is the author and the finisher of faith, who is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The contest is always against yourself. It's a contest for the finish line, looking toward that finish line. I made the following notes as I thought of this teaching, especially to my core and all of you believers here tonight. The spirit and the soul of every believer is vitally influenced by the conditioning habits of our physical bodies. Unclean physical habits will break the sonship fellowship with the Father, binding our spirits, the Christ in you, the hope of glory, in bondage. In the battle between the physical body drives, those drives in that physical body, and the needs, in that battle of that physical body and the spirit of the Christ in you, the hope of glory, without renewed mind believing, according to God's word, the body will always win. When the mind, for the body takes over, contrary to God's word, the spirit suffers, and the believers live below par. You see, the Spirit of God in Christ in you, kids, that Spirit has no drive of its own in you. It is the dynamis. It is the potential to power. It only becomes kinetic when you operate it by the freedom of your will to believe it and put it into practice. Therefore, the Spirit of God in Christ in you is controlled by the mind of every believer, like the body is controlled by the mind. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified, is the text. It is not is being crucified. It's another one of these stupid forgeries they put in the translation, changing the whole verb form, teaching that, you know, you go through the Mass today and the Mass tomorrow. It's just a time of continuing to be crucified. No, never. He's a one-time Savior. He did it once. Did you ever read the book of Hebrews? It's over with. Boy, our old man was crucified. Well, if the old man was crucified, I want to tell you, he's deader than a doornail. You know, if they hang on a cross and crucify you for 48 hours, you're dead. You're dead, right? So the old man is what? Dead. That's right. Just got to reckon him dead. You got to reckon it. You got to believe God's word. It's dead with him, with Christ. When Christ died, we died with him. that the body of sin might be what? Destroyed. The word destroyed is done away with. That it might be what? Done away with. That henceforth, from that time on, we should not serve. And the word serve is be in bondage to sin. Verse 7, for he who is dead is justified, is the text, from sin. It's over with. Look at verse 11. I told you, you have to reckon yourselves dead. Indeed, unto what? Sin. But alive, unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12. That's a new one. Craig Martindale, remember that one. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Sin always comes by way of the five senses. You believe less than what the Word says is sin. You put yourself down under condemnation and everything else. And you do it by the five senses. Lust is anything beyond need. Verse 13 says, neither yield ye your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin. Why? Because the weaponry is over with. We're runners. We're in a contest. The battle has been won. Yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the what? Good gravy. And your members, the senses stuff, instruments of righteousness under God. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. The text reads, for sin shall no longer lord it over you. Have dominion over you. The sin problem's been settled. Just a matter of the sinner getting saved and then believing God's word. It's settled, Cor. For you're no longer under law, because Christ was the fulfillment of it. But you live under grace, God's divine favor. In Romans 12, that great familiar record to all of us, I beseech you, beggingly implore you, beg you, brethren, born again believers, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a condemned one, not a one still fighting the battle, but one for whom the battle has been fought. And you know who you are and what you've been redeemed from and who's living within you. Present yourself a living sacrifice, not a dead one. Living, holy, acceptable unto God. Acceptable is well-pleasing, which is your religious or reasonable service. To be well-pleasing in the light of your reasonable or religious service is to have your service aligned with reason. a service belonging to reason. Your call to service. As I said, sin operates through the members of the body via the five senses. James talks about the tongue being an unruly evil. The Gospels talk about the eye. You got a beam in it, you ought to get it out before you pick on somebody else's mote. And if the eye offends, pluck it. Talks about the hand. If the hand offends, all these are the bodily members. And sin operates through the bodily members. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down reasonings and every false thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity people, every thought, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of who? Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13 declares, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall what? But if ye by spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall what? Live." I told you that spirit has no drive of its own in you. It's only dynamis power. Spirit does not possess and control you. That's why spirit is controlled by the mind. The Christ in you is controlled by the mind. Like the body is controlled by the mind. If you live according to the five senses, the flesh, you're just killing yourself. But if you live by the Spirit, living that way, you have put to death the deeds of the body, and then you live abundantly. And Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more than abundant. That we might be more than conquerors, people. You see, in Romans 12, 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this what? World. But be transformed." Transformed. By the renewing of your mind. Whereby, with the renewing of the mind, you can prove what is that good and well-pleasing. We can prove that which is that good and acceptable, and we prove the perfect will of what? God. In Romans 6, "Know ye not," verse 16, "that to whom you yield yourself," and you do this by the freedom of your will, "yield yourself servants to obey, doulos to obey." His doulos ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that when you were the servants, the doulos of sin, Now you've changed and you've obeyed from the heart that form of right believing which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you become the douloses, the branded slaves of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, means Gentiles, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, douloses to uncleanness, and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Even so now, since you're born again of God's Spirit and Christ in you, yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. Holiness and sanctification are the same root word in the Greek. Holiness means to be set apart. Sanctification means to be set apart. That's the finished work of Christ. He did it. But it only becomes yours and mine when we appropriate it by the renewed mind believing. Renewed mind believing is sanctification in manifestation. Thank you, Father, for the core being back home and for the greatness of your love and mercy and grace and your goodness. And I'm fantastically blessed, Father, for your presence. Deborah, turn your eyes upon Jesus tonight, okay? Here we go.
So, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. Well, there's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
You see, to look in his fullness of his face is to see the greatness of the word and what he really is. Second
from
verse.
Death unto life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more has.
Amen.
Dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
All right, now hit that verse. Here we go.
His word will not fail you. He promised. Just believe him, and all will be well. And then go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell.
the things of earth will grow strangely dim. In the light of his glory and grace,